Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Our special guest of the week, Joe Foster, will be joining us in just a moment. Our very special guest co-host. We do that because you want to make them feel good because of the prices we pay. Tim Swartz is back with us this week. And last week, we had John LeMay on the show, author of many books, but also is interested in genre films. And we got to talking on our premium show, especially on After the Paracast, or premium show. That's a show that you get if you join the Paracast Plus at the Paracast.plus. And I was surprised in the responses we got in the forums how many people really dig those monster movies. You know, right, Tim? I mean, I always thought they couldn't be anything special because they really don't have much in the way of special effects. It's not like Peter Jackson's doing the film or something. I mean, you have situations there where, literally speaking, they will have a guy wearing a gorilla suit or a monster suit prancing around the soundstage. Why are people so interested in that?
I don't know. I think it's because that a lot of us, our first exposure to those kind of films was when we were kids, you know, watching, you know, when television used to run, like on the weekends or late at night, you know, Godzilla films and the rest of them. So it's just something that, you know, we enjoyed as a kid, and it just sticks with us.
Our special guest this week, Joe Foster, are you interested in monster films at all?
Oh, absolutely, Gene. Love monster films.
What is your favorite?
It's got to be Horrors of Dracula with Bela Lugosi. Ooh, it goes back a ways, but that was classic.
Well, the thing, of course, here is that we were thinking not so much of Frankenstein, Dracula, but Godzilla and King Kong and stuff like that.
Okay, well, the real thing might be out there. Who knows?
Well, yeah, some of them may be living in Washington, D.C. We hear about that.
Well, those are dinosaurs, but that's another story.
We don't want to get into that. No, we try not to do politics on this show. We do get into it to some degree, Joe, when we talk about UFOs and what the government is doing, especially now where we've got these various organizations within the government with acronyms that you can't even begin to remember or spell or pronounce. But exactly. At least they're taking it seriously, we hope. But according to your bio, Joe, you have been an experiencer of sorts since what? When you were 3 years old or something like that?
Yeah, I'm actually 3 years old is the first experience that I remember vividly. It happened, I was in my crib. I was wide awake. Both my parents were sound asleep. And the event took place for about 10 or 15 seconds. And there was this hideous creature seemingly hanging over the railing of my crib. And very scary. This hideous creature seemed to be hanging over the railing of my crib. I was standing at the headboard, which was furthest away from my parents' bed. Of course, the baseboard was against my parents' bed at the foot of the bed. It was on my mother's side. And I remember just standing there, staring at this creature, and the creature standing there, staring back at me. But there was absolutely no emotion by either myself or the creature. And that lasted maybe 10 or 15 seconds. The next thing, I must have gone right to sleep because I don't remember another thing after that. That was my first experience. And I guess that's also what gave me an interest in creatures and an aversion to things that look like crabs. Hey, so anyway, that was the Genesis story, but there were other stories along the way as well. Three of which were while I was in the service. Those I consider probably some of the most interesting because of the format that I had seen these things in, and also within the space and time of what was reported or what wasn't reported. But there was also one other experience before I went in the service. That was I was about 10. That was a unique one. But they all, after that, going forward, they seemed to all have a theme. And the theme definitely had something to do with military and weapons. So anyway, I digress. Back to the monster issue. Of course, Godzilla and King Kong and those type of the monsters never really held that much interest for me. However, with that being said, being that the ocean is, you know, 2/3 of the world Earth is covered by the ocean, and the report of sea monsters and as such have been going on since the beginning of time, so who knows?
Well, I'm interested in the description. Do you remember what this thing, when you were 3 years old, what it looked like?
Yeah, it was kind of very, very odd. It was almost like clown-like. Hmm. As a matter of fact, the head was a small creature. I can't say how big it was because it seemed to be leaning over a little bit into the crib. But the head was definitely, it was a clown. It was a clown's head, but it was absolutely real. And like I said, if it was something that you would see normally, you would expect to be frightened out of your mind. This one did not elicit any sense of fear whatsoever. And even the sense of curiosity was minimal. It was just a question of responding to it, looking at it, and accepting that it was there on my part. On its part, it seemed just to be interested in staring at me, you know, and where I was at the headboard. But other than that, it was almost surrealistic. It was not a nightmare. That I'm 99% sure of. It was years later that I actually talked to my parents about it and asked them, I described the room, first of all, being, actually, it wasn't even quite 3 at the time. But I was able to describe the room in great detail, including the placement of furniture and the color of the room, the placement of the windows, and even the estimate of time when it took place was probably about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm. Now, don't ask me how, other than the fact that both my parents were sound asleep and they never woke up throughout the entire thing, which I found mildly curious. I mean, I thought if I saw it, why didn't my mother see it? So then that's about as much as I can tell you about it. Other than years later, I did draw a 3D, made a isometric drawing of the bedroom, like an amateur would. And that's what my parents both validated. That's exactly what the room looked like. It was on a farm. We lived... spent the first 8 years, 10 years of my life on a farm. And this was a farm out in East Hampton, out on Long Island. And it backed up to a pasture. And just on the other side of the pasture was the Long Island Railroad. On the other side of that was a couple of miles of pretty much nothing but woods and fields. So it was a kind of an isolated area just on the outskirts of the town of East Hampton, which in itself is kind of interesting because there's a lot of strange creatures that have been there for years as well.
It has been maybe 40 years or 45 years since the last time I took the Long Island Railroad.
Okay. How far out did you go?
Mostly I lived in the Little Neck area. So I take the train to Little Neck, which of course is like, what, half way through the route. So it wasn't right. Such a big deal. But that was my route from my home in Little Neck to Midtown. We've got more to come. Joe Foster, UFO researcher, experiencer, with our special guest co-host, Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Joe Foster telling us about experiences when he was a young child. Now, when someone is like 3 years old, I guess the thing here one wonders about is that how does one even remember something when they were that young?
That's an excellent question. I'm not exactly sure of the answer. other than, you know, from two on, you might have brief recollections of various points, which I do have, probably starting when I was about two and a half. But again, it's the memory of a child, you know, seen through child's eyes for the most part. But that cribbing experience was, to me, it was very unique, and it always will be. Only because I know that I wasn't asleep, and I know that I wasn't afraid, and I should have been afraid, and, you know, I should have at least remember waking up the next morning, which I had no recollection of that. So whatever the extraordinary aspect was, it was a 10 or 15 second period. And that was pretty easy to remember. I mean, just standing there, staring, slight movement. That was basically it. And then it was over.
There wasn't a situation there where you physically couldn't move when it happened.
No, I don't remember anything like that. All I remember is being awake once. It's kind of like going under anesthesia. You know, you count backwards from 100, and by the time you get to 95, you're zonked. You're totally out. You don't have no dreaming, no recollection. No, you know, you're totally gone. And that's the only way that I could describe it. I was wide awake 1 second, then nothing. And not remembering the morning when I got up or anything like that. So, you know, so it wasn't like a dream that just kind of hung with me. It was there, and then it was gone. But the long-term memory remained as vivid as if it was yesterday. It was in Technicolor. I mean, everything I remember seeing, I can see my crib as if it was yesterday, the color of the crib, stencils that were on it, you know, all that stuff is remembered. And why part of it is and the other part isn't, I can't say why, other than that's the way it is.
What did your parents have to say about all this?
Well, it was years later. I never really related it to them until years later. And at that time, there was too much time removed. I don't think either of them had any real sense one way or the other than the fact that they were asleep and I wasn't asleep. It could have been a nightmare or whatever. But they never got into the aspect of it that it might have been something other than a normal child's experience. So I don't know. I mean, I explained to them what I saw, what I thought maybe it was. But, you know, it was a different reference points for all of us.
I'm kind of wondering here about whether they might have thought you were dreaming or something. And that would be their reaction.
Well, I think that would be the normal reaction for just about anybody, especially if you didn't experience it yourself and you hear about it years later. Oh, you just had a nightmare. But it wasn't. I can assure you it was not that. You know, that I would stake my life on.
Let's go briefly through your other experiences through the years, because certainly the first one sounds compelling, if nothing else, even if we all can't figure out what really might have happened. But what about other experiences you've had through the years?
Well, the next experience I had was probably about 3 years later. We're still living out on the island. And we went to an opening of a brand new drive-in movie theater in Bridgehampton, which is a couple miles up the road from East Hampton, of course. And interestingly, I believe the movie that I saw at that time was Horrors of Dracula. Now, at this time, I was no longer the only child. I had a young sister that was probably about a year or two old herself. And we were sitting at the drive-in there right off of the old 27, the old Montauk Highway. And we're facing generally in the westerly direction towards Hampton Bays and Southampton and Brookhaven and so on. We're about 30 miles or so away from Brookhaven. And I bring this up for a very specific reason. Brookhaven is a very, as you probably know, a very interesting place in of itself. But anyway, we were at the drive-in movie theater this night. And my sister and I were sitting in the front seat. And my parents, of course, were in the back seat. and we're watching the show, and all of a sudden, at the top of the screen, and we weren't too far back, we were maybe 10 rows back from the screen itself, but on the top of the screen, maybe 15 or 20 degrees above the screen, there was this very, very bright white light, and it just appeared, and then it made three zigzagging moves, high rate of speed, but it was discernible. You could see it with the naked eye, and it disappeared behind the screen, but it was three right angle moves in a zigzag fashion. Now, that, of course, we're facing to the west, and this is around 1954, maybe, and that stuck in my mind. But I also knew that it was extraordinary, even at the age that I was. It was an extraordinary event. It was not an aircraft like anything I had ever seen before. It wasn't, also, I didn't think it was anything other than that, even though we didn't know a heck of a lot about, you know, meteors and, you know, astronomical things. But that was, again, very unique. And years later, of course, there were the descriptions of UFOs making those type of high-speed, right-angle, zigzagging-type moves that the G-forces would have turned any living thing into a puddle under our normal state of physics as we understand them. So now also looking in the direction, there has always been a lot of UFO activity out there on the island, as you're probably aware of yourself, with reported crashes, and of course Camp Hero being another 19 or 20 miles further out on the island, a lot of interesting things. And of course, Brookhaven doing early work on, you know, part of the Manhattan Project, also early work with particle beam or particle experimentation. It's not surprising that there may have been something there at that time that was paying close attention to, you know, the military aspect or the weapons related research that was going on. So, but that was very, very specific. Didn't last long. None of these last all that long. Of course, we didn't have cameras or anything handy at that time. So getting a picture of it, you just got a bright white light, but it's the way that light reacted the motion that it had. It's quite unique.
What is also quite unique is the break we're going to take. Joe Foster joins us, a lifetime of strange encounters. With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Biden promising full federal support to six states hit hard by a deadly tornado outbreak, which may have been one of the largest such outbreaks in U.S. history. The president asking the FEMA chief to provide whatever help states need. And Kentucky needs a lot of help, according to the governor, Andy Beshear.
We will rebuild. We are strong, resilient people.
Governor Beshear saying the death toll in his state could reach around 100 alone. At least Six people are confirmed dead now at an Illinois Amazon warehouse after it collapsed during one of the tornadoes, but search and rescue operations for those still unaccounted for continue at the scene. John Griffin, a longtime CNN producer facing multiple charges for allegedly luring underage girls to his Vermont ski home for, quote, sexual subservience training. This is USA Radio News. It was the annual Army-Navy football game on Saturday, and Navy stunned Army in it 17-13 in the showdown at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Today, whether they cheer for Army or cheer for Navy, we ask that they would all soon come safely home. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
U.S. Navy Academy honored a fallen SEAL team commander during the game. Commander Brian Bourgeois was injured during a training exercise in Virginia last weekend and died of his wounds on Tuesday when the Navy midshipmen took to the field carrying the American Navy and Marine Corps flags. One player carried a SEAL Team 8 flag to honor the 2001 grad who was a four-year member of the Navy football team himself. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Tim Swartz is our guest co-host, Joe Foster, our guest. Before Joe continues, Tim, did you have a few questions you want to raise first?
Well, as Joe said, you know, Long Island has been such a hotbed of UFO and other high weirdness activity over the years. You look at, say, John Keel's writings and all the weird stuff that he ran across. So Joe's experience, really, I mean, I'm surprised that everybody who's lived on Long Island doesn't have some kind of a bizarre story to remember.
My guess is a lot of people do that just don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still the stigma.
The other aspect, you know, the event that you had when you were young, over the years, I have talked to so many people who have had a lifetime of unusual experiences, and they generally always start, and maybe it's just because that's when really your memories stick, you know, in your head at around the age of three. But so many people, I mean, their first experiences happen, and it's usually a nighttime encounter that involves, you know, like bright lights or you know, unusual creatures. And Gene had asked earlier about why you think that you remember that. And I think, you know, how could you not? You know, even at that age, you know when something really weird is happening in your room.
Yeah, I agree with you. That is definitely true. That's right. To me, it's not extraordinary that I did remember it. The only thing that's extraordinary is trying to figure out exactly what it was and why it happened and, you know, to what the ultimate purpose. That I have no clue of. I mean, it was obvious that it was a home invasion type experience. Whether it really existed or not, I really can't say for sure. You know, I was too young to really make that type of determination, you know, do a scientific follow-up on it, if you will. But it was something that I definitely believe happened, at least to a point where, you know, I have that that recollection and the overall sense and being of what it seemed to have been.
Well, now, looking at your notes and things, Joe, didn't you also have a crop circle pop up on your property?
Yeah. Okay. Now, interesting. Now, this is where, to me, the sightings and events are all well and good. But if the fact of the matter is that if you take the time and have the time or the opportunity, then you might find that there's a synchronicity to all of these, that you know, there's more than just that one event. Mm-hmm. The crop circle event actually was kind of an interesting one in the sense that you have to go to my third UFO sighting, which took place in 1958. You know, this is my sighting at that time. We were living on a farm, no longer out on the island, but now we're in Monmouth County, which is central New Jersey. And we're living in the farm is a very interesting farm. It's about 360 acres. And it belonged to a gentleman that, he was a gentleman farmer, and his name was Rosenberg. And he owned all the Miles shoe stores, as well as all the Atomic Ann shoe stores. So he had probably about 1,600 or 1,700 shoe stores across the nation. Very pleasant man, and he was very approachable, and, you know, he always treated the people that lived on his farm very well. Anyway, the farm backs up to what is known as the Navy Road or Normandy Road, which links a naval ammunition depot located in Colts Neck, New Jersey, with its pier facilities about 13.2 miles to the north, right on Raritan Bay or New York Harbor, if you will. And that Navy Road consists of a two-lane highway as well as a two-track private rail line. And, of course, it was built during World War II, and it was to store and move ammunition to and from the fleet, which it does even to this day. Well, anyway, that Navy Road, it had about four or five crossing points between those 13.2 miles. And whenever interesting munitions were being moved from the depot to the pier or from the pier to the depot, if they were interesting, like nuclear munitions, they would have a squad of armed Marines that would escort the truck or the train, and they would stop traffic at each of the crossing points until it got to the destination. Now, in 1958, July of 1958, was my only real experience with a UFO and that Navy Road. It was a daylight sphere that was flying, maybe heading from the pier facility from the north, heading on a southerly direction towards where the storage bunkers were. And it was about maybe 200-300 feet off the ground, and it was a silver sphere. But it also is interesting because, like none other report that I had ever seen, it had red and white flashing lights all around it, but not attached to it. It was very bizarre. Never heard anything about it before or after. But it was lazily flying along that roadway. That was in 1958. Now, I'm going to tie in a couple of other things. Again, this has to do with what I believe is the synchronicity of events that are all linked one way or the other to the UFO phenomenon. In May of 1958, outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland, actually only Durwood, Maryland, there was a Nike Ajax battery known as Whiskey 93, and it had 8 or 16 Nike Ajax missiles, conventional warhead, two-stage, first-generation surface-to-air missile designed to shoot down Soviet bombers. Between Whiskey 93 and Whiskey 94, which was loaded in Gaithersburg, Maryland, they had UFO sightings over a two-week period, ending with a crash landing of one of these vehicles. And it took off, but it left behind some radioactive debris. This was all reported by an Army radar operator, a gentleman named Harlan Bentley, as part of the disclosure project. Just came across this not too long ago, a couple of years ago. Now, in May of 1958, alongside the Navy Road that I live next to, there was another Nike Ajax site about 3 or 4 miles up the road closer to the pier facility. And at that site, they had a major explosion. The entire battery blew up, and it was the worst accident in Nike Ajax history. 10 men were killed, 6 soldiers and 4 DOD civilians. They were doing a safety upgrade to one of the missiles, but I don't know of anybody that would work on a fully fueled, fully armed missile with power tools. And it's just not a smart thing to do. But that's the official story. Now, that happened on May 22nd, 1958. It's important that you keep these times kind of together. It was July of 1958 that I had my UFO sighting along that Navy road. I didn't realize this at the time, but in 1970, there was a reported UFO landing about a mile and a half from where that Nike site blew up. And the description of the vehicle was very close, not exactly like what I had seen, but very close to it. And that was in the town of Port Monmouth, which is part of Middletown Township. And again, roughly a mile and a half from the Nike site and about a mile and a half from the Navy Pier facility. So again, these things seem to be gravitating to that Navy road. And of course, the nuclear munitions that were stored there, at least until like 1996. When they supposedly were removed, never acknowledged by the Navy, but they were supposedly removed at that time. So that was 1970. You had a second, you had the landing. Come up to 2002, back to Doorbrook Farm or Doorbrook Park now where I lived, about 200 yards behind my house, a crop circle showed up in 2002, summer of 2002. Full disclosure, 2002 is also when the movie Signs came out with Mel Gibson, and I didn't think it was anything other than possibly hoaxers.
All right, Joe, Gene, Tim, you're in.
The Paracast!
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com.
This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so you mentioned, of course, the film with Mel Gibson's Signs, Joe Foster. And the thing I remember is at the end, they had this crazy monster.
Yes, it was an alien creature. Well, anyway, the movie Signs, I assumed that it had something to do with the movie Signs. But a couple of years later, I was at a MUFON event, and I talked to somebody who said that they actually did investigate, and that it did have some of the hallmarks of a valid crop circle event. The burst of the plants, they were microwave, you know, the burst caused them to fold over. So that was news to me, and it was kind of an interesting thing. Now, also, full disclosure, you mentioned John Keel early on in the show. There was a gentleman named Robert Warth, W-A-R-T-H. Now, Bob Warth, I met him through my father. They both worked at Bendix at a period of time, and they became somewhat friendly. But Bob Warth was also a member of SITU, which is the Society for the Investigation of the Unexplained. And, of course, there was a quarterly newsletter that was put out. It was called Pursuit. A very interesting group. I mean, it goes way back to Neville, Long John Neville days. And a gentleman who had Ivan T. Sanderson. He's the one that founded SITU. Well, anyway, Bob Warth lived in Little Silver. He was a relatively young guy. And I met him. My father told me I should talk with him about some of the events that we've had, especially an event that my wife had relatively recently. And I did, made contact with him. We sat down, we talked, and he divulged a lot of stuff because he was the area investigator, basically, for Monmouth County area. He and his wife Nancy were also the ones that edited and produced Pursuit after Ivan Sanderson died of cancer in the 1970s. Well, anyway, Bob did some of the initial study on the 1970 landing there, and they had photographs of where the marsh grass was pressed down because of the weight of the saucer or the object, whether it's a sphere or a saucer. And it was actually validated in an interesting way. that the police chief of Middletown Township, which is a fairly large township, was a no-nonsense guy that was hired by my wife's grandfather, who was the deputy police chief in that town back at the time of the Nike explosion. Well, anyway, he validated the people that reported this sighting, which I found totally surprising, because I get like, this guy doesn't believe anything, near as I could tell. But he did in this case, and he did it to the newspaper. The Courier was the local weekly newspaper, which is actually a pretty decent one as far as weeklies went. So, you know, you had that validation, and of course, the Crop Circle in 2002. Now, it doesn't end there. That's the interesting part, that my dentist actually lived in an area that was very close to the Navy Road also. And she and her husband reported some very strange things in their development. It was about a mile from where I lived on that farm. And this was just recently. They just had something recently about 3 or 4 years ago when they moved from that area to another town. So, I don't want to drag this out any further than need be. But I wanted to show that there's all these things happening, and there seems to be a definite linkage even to this day, because the Naval Ammunition Depot is still there, even if it does not contain necessarily nuclear weapons. And leave that for the listener to draw their own conclusions on. But my take, or my assumption, is that this should not be too unique. I mean, it's unique only in the sense that I've had a number of years to be able to sit there and pay a little bit of attention to the area, and that I find these things out through my own investigations. And it is what it is. There was one other aspect of it. The sighting that I had in July of 1958, you know, basically about 200 or 300 yards away from my house, across the road, right over the Navy Road, about 2 miles from there, about two and a half miles, there was also a river that merged into the Nattasing River, and there was a large swampy area where it goes from Red Bank into River Plaza, and a person that lived on that bank actually said that they witnessed the object that I had seen on that date actually land briefly that swampy area. So now that we have two swampy areas that are close to that Navy Road, that apparently these craft will set down in for whatever reason. Totally separate, spaced over the years. People did not know one another. It's just something that the story came out. So I don't know what you make of that, but I say that is very, very accurate sans photographs or, you know, something like of that nature.
But well, this is the type of evidence, especially going back to the 1970 landing case, where they actually had photographs of depressions in the ground and things like that, that really, I think, needs to get more attention, because you look at all of the recent press coverage. I mean, you know, the press is really interested in UFOs now, yet you read these articles and it seems like that they're under the impression that the whole UFO phenomena started in 2006. You know, but we have years of absolutely fantastic evidence, like what you just were referring to, that doesn't get much attention, doesn't get much love.
No, it really doesn't. Now, there's one other thing that I did not mention, especially about that 1970 event. I mentioned Nike Ajax early on. Nike Ajax was replaced by Nike Hercules. Okay, it's a second-generation surface-to-air missile. U.S. Army. It was all designed by Wernher von Braun and his team. The team of scientists and engineers that were brought over part of Operation Paperclip. It was based upon, the early design was based upon German designs from World War II. Now, the interesting thing about 1970, that landing in 1970, I'm a volunteer at New York 56, which is one of the remaining two Nike Hercules museums. New York 56 is located on Sandy Hook, Fort Hancock, and it's a what they call a dual battery. That means they had two integrated fire controls, one launcher area, but they also had 24 nuclear-armed Nike Hercules missiles, range of about 100 miles, ceiling about 165,000 feet, speed Mach 3.5 or around 2,600 miles per hour. Very accurate and very deadly. They have three different size warheads. The small warhead was about 5 kiloton. The medium warhead was between 14 and 22, roughly the size of the two bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The large was about 40 kiloton, and they were actually used during that time. They were the early warheads that were put onto the Trident ballistic missiles, that the submarine launched Trident missiles. So we had 24 of those Nike Hercules out there at Sandy Hook. Flying time, driving time, it's about 8 miles from the site of the landing and the Navy Road, about 7 miles from the Navy Road. The only time, now this is according to the head of our association, our volunteer association, the gentleman that was the actual, he was the launch section chief, launch section A of that Nike Hercules site. He said that the only time that he was involved, which was about 6 years at that site, the only time they ever armed those missiles for flight and anger, that means they took out the safe plugs out of the nuclear warhead and put the arming plugs in and raised them up into the position where they can be launched within 2 or 3 minutes. The only time that he ever had that happen was the summer of 1970.
Before we return to the summer of 1970, which was shortly after the Beatles broke up, by the way, we have Joe Foster, right. Tim Swartz, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.